absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast about all things intercultural. In the last show, we heard about different types of freedom. And this show, 294, will continue this theme and find out how lack of freedom can drive someone to leave their country. Can you guess which country is being described here?
Everything is like, you know, it's like the black mold taking over everything, and even the small parts, because they built up a system of, you know, like in the Middle Ages, that the big boss has smaller bosses, the smaller bosses have, you know, supporters, and normally the small people in the end are the most cruel to others. So actually the whole system is, I would say, infected.
Also in this show, we'll be looking beyond the Erasmus semester abroad at what can happen when you aim to relocate to a new country permanently. Your head or your heart, which will win?
The reasons for coming to Denmark is mostly rational, economical, strategical. And the reasons they leave is mostly, dominantly emotional. That they don't feel welcome. They don't feel appreciated. And that is very difficult to tackle.
We'll end with a very important problem which Danish managers often overlook. But is it just Danish managers?
My manager should see how much I'm struggling. It's obvious. I need help. But how could I go there and ask for help?
My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark, which is where today's guest, Dora, decided to relocate to from Hungary. Dora is a coach and therapist, and has noticed that while the headline advantages of coming to Denmark to live are fairly well known globally, there is a downside that Dora calls killing me softly. But is this show all doom and gloom? No. We'll finish with a very simple piece of advice that Dora has for Danish managers, but which I think is very good advice for everyone. So today I'm talking with Dora Hegedush, who runs a coaching company called Thinking Partner in Denmark. Dora will tell us why she felt that she and her family should leave Hungary, even though she was already in her 50s when they decided to make the move. But first, we'll find out why the famed work-life balance of working in Denmark is not enough, and how Danish managers are losing their new international employees through careless inattention to one critical factor, what Dora might call absolutely killing me softly.
It's an experience. The environment is killing me softly as an international, but that's what many internationals are going through when they relocate after the honeymoon period. And that is what I think that most Danes do not see.
Yeah. So what is it that is killing people softly?
It's not difficult to recruit internationals to Denmark because you have a very long list of a long value proposition. Why to move to Denmark? You know, the quality of life, amazing family life, healthcare, school system, work-life balance, the company culture, normally flat hierarchy, teamwork, and so on, feedback. So there is a lot that Denmark has to offer to internationals, actually. So it's easy to get people. Of course, there are difficulties with relocation and stuff, but still, you don't have to lie about what you're offering. What is not included, of course, because it's not part of a legal agreement, is how they will feel. And that is my view, that the reasons for coming to Denmark is mostly rational, economical, strategical. And the reasons they leave is mostly, dominantly emotional. That they don't feel welcome. They don't feel appreciated. And that is very difficult to tackle. How you tackle that?
Yeah, but what can you offer Danish employers? What sort of tools can you offer them to try and minimize this risk?
I think as like both in therapy and coaching, number one is awareness, to be aware of how internationals feel, why they leave, not to like, okay, they couldn't take it. There will be another one. Or yeah, of course it didn't fit. So the best is that they leave, because it's a huge loss actually, both for a team. But if we go back to financials, losing a talent, losing a manager is roughly 1 year of salary as sunk cost to replace them.
Yeah.
From the moment of agreeing to leave to the moment that the replacement is fully functional, it's normally a year and involving several people's time and energy with the onboarding of the new person.
Now, even though this is an emotional problem, you can put it into hard financial terms.
Yes, yes. And it's a wish on my side that more and more leaders would be aware, first of all, of the cost, and second of all, that what impact they could have on the situation. Because for the moment, what I see is that either they are not aware of it, or in some cases, I have a gut feeling that it's better not to go there. Let's focus on something else. Let's not open that box. And it's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. We all know that the Danish society is quite closed compared to other EU countries. It's a special country. I think that's why we love Denmark, but also it creates a lot of special situations, and it takes years to be let in the tribe, to be let in to the circle. And not everybody has 2-3 years, because that's the average. If you're persistent for 2-3 years, you have a fat chance to be part of our tribe. Not everybody has the time or even the awareness, again, on the other side, on the awareness on the international side, that it will come probably. You just need to be persistent. And of course, they give up.
Dare I ask, are you breaking through to the employers?
I would say partly. Copenhagen is a more international city in every sense.
Yeah.
It's totally natural if you don't speak Danish and you can still make a career. In Jutland, it's still more of an exception to make a career without speaking Danish. It is possible, but you need to be very special as a leader or be quite lucky.
So a sense of belonging is critical to being able to take full advantage of the freedoms of Denmark. And in our next segment, we'll hear how it was this sense of belonging that Dora felt slipping away in her native Hungary. Hear how Dora felt increasingly alienated as we go absolutely ready to leave.
And it's, of course, an emotional topic, because both my husband and I are over 50. So it's not an obvious choice when you are a student or something. Oh, let's relocate and start a new life somewhere else, because we have all our roots back in Hungary. That's why it took us years to finally act upon our urge to leave. And maybe for those who don't really know what's happening, I was born and I had my child and teenage years under the Soviet occupation, the socialist face of Hungary. And socialism is not that kind of romantic version of what Western Europeans imagine may only also in Denmark that socialism is good. No, we had the bad version. And I was 18 when the Berlin Wall fell. Also, when Hungary became free and the Soviet army moved out. And my experience is very vivid of like, finally, we can breathe. It wasn't easy, but there was freedom in the air. I was raised in a way that I have my own thinking, critical thinking, and I'm totally used to express it. And with respect of others, of course, but I'm not holding back my opinion because of fear. And as the present government started their reign practically 14 years ago, this freedom started to shrink and shrink and shrink. And now it's officially reported, but also it's a felt sense that we are back to the 70s, 80s. Regarding freedom, regarding freedom of speech, freedom of business, and also the ownership of organizations, the control over the media, the jurisdiction, everything is like, you know, it's like the black mold taking over everything and even the small parts, because they built up a system of, you know, like in the Middle Ages, that the big boss has smaller bosses, the smaller bosses have, you know, supporters, and normally the small people in the end are the most cruel to others. So actually the whole system is, I would say, infected. And that was the tricky part, because both of us are successful business people. I, as a coach, I'm working individually, so I have a full control over with whom I work, or I don't go into contract. And I decided already, like, I don't know, it was a certain moment when I was invited into a project and the project company didn't reveal who was the client. And I just wrote to them that, okay, I have a condition that I'm not working for state-owned companies or companies that are owned by, there is a kind of sarcastic joke, the biggest employer of the country, that is the right hand of the prime minister, and his employer directly or indirectly to hundreds of thousands of people in Hungary. So I wrote that I'm not working for that sector, and they said that, unfortunately, then I cannot be included in the project. So that was a turning point, and I still had clients. Luckily, most of my clients are from the other countries from the EU and some from Asia and North America. So financially, I could keep myself independent.
Yeah.
And we had a beautiful home with a beautiful garden. So actually, it was like you know, like an image that when I go home, I close the garden gate and it's all good. But this day after day, living in an era when hundreds of thousands of people are deeply poor, meaning they eat once a day, children, they have zero expectations for life and no chance to break out of poverty, to see the whole system being dismantled, the democracy that is like really sacred for me, having grown up in not democracy, it just creates, you know, the pressure that, yeah, I'm doing well, I'm okay, my family's okay, but how can I be okay when millions are suffering? And 2 years ago, nearly exactly 2 years ago, we had yet another election, and the government was, the governing party was re-elected by 48% of voters who went to vote, actually. And that was a moment, because we were so much, it was so bad already that it was like, seemed obvious that it needs to change.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And that was the moment when the feeling arrived that I'm minority. And if the majority of voters, nearly the majority, want this to continue, maybe I am that's not where I belong to. And this is the sad part, actually. And that was the pish. And our daughter was living already here, studying at the university. And we actually scheduled a visit to her just like, I think, 2 days after the elections, three. In those few days, I searched the apartment market. And actually, when we were here, within 5 days of the elections, we signed a contract already. So that was like a tipping point for us.
That is like the mirror image of what you just talked about with regard to internationals feeling they belong in Danish companies. Because here you're describing very clearly, but you gradually got this feeling that you didn't belong anymore in your own country. And that's what pushed you away. So I guess you have really deep empathy and understanding for the situation of people who feel they don't belong when they take up a job in Denmark. That is an amazing mirror.
Yeah. And I think there are two basic human needs are actually in conflict in both cases. One is safety.
Yeah.
And the other is belonging. And Denmark for safety is 100%. You're safe financially, you're safe. Even if you're an entrepreneur, you have like, or employee, you have like, I don't know, two, three, four layers of safety net below you. It's exceptional. Safety is very, very strong in Denmark. And belonging is the risk that when you feel safe after a while, like most internationals, you start, your nervous system starts to relax, right?
Yeah.
So you have energy and you have a different focus. You don't fight for your own survival. Then belonging becomes more important.
Yeah.
And there you hit the wall in Denmark.
Now, we don't want to leave you with the feeling that Denmark is a hopeless case for internationals. It's clearly working for Dora. So here is one last piece of advice that Dora has for Danish managers on how to retain their foreign staff. Let's go absolutely helpful.
Maybe one thing that can be a game changer is that we mortal human beings born and raised outside of Denmark or Scandinavia, we are used to get help when in trouble without having to ask for it. And that is a huge difference, what I experienced in Denmark, that in Denmark, if they offer you help without being asked, is regarded as intrusion. And also like a message that I don't think that you can manage alone. And us humble little creatures, we are actually expecting also in corporations that my manager should see how much I'm struggling. It's obvious I need help, but how could I go there and ask for help? And there is, you know, like the whole case falls between the two chairs and the connection is broken. So going to internationals proactively, offering help, offering invitation, asking very directly what they need, doesn't mean that they, like, you know, talking to us from a higher level. It means that they are making a connection. And that can be a huge game changer, both for individuals and employees.
So that's it. Ask your foreign colleagues if they need help. Advice which I'm sure would bear fruit everywhere, not just Denmark. What do you think? What's the best way of helping people feel they belong in your country? Share your story with us via comment or email, and you could feature in one of our upcoming shows. For more information and previous episodes, visit our website at absolutely-intercultural.com. And if you enjoyed the show, please give us a thumbs up on our Facebook page. And did you know we're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify? You can subscribe for free there, leave a rating, or drop a comment. Our next show, hosted by Dr. Laurent Borgmann in Germany, will be out on the 7th of June. Until then, stay tuned to your international colleagues.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.